Well, of course, the real challenge is what do you not put into the first sermon when you're starting a new series which begins in Genesis and ends in Revelation, a series which introduces so much of the scriptures that are both familiar and new to us. Where do you start? Well, I figured we'd start with a little quiz. A little general knowledge thing this morning to find out how erudite you are, okay? Which historical novel published in 1859 by Charles Dickens, written by Charles Dickens, opens with, "It was the best of times, it was the worst of times"? Well done. Excellent, excellent. Now, it's a privilege to serve such an erudite and well-read congregation. Here's the next question. Which historical novel written by Charles Dickens and published in 1859 ends, closing lines, with, "It is a far, far better thing that I do than I have ever done. It is a far, far better rest that I go to than I have ever known"? Delta City is well done. Very good. What a blessing. Very interestingly, and in fact, if you were to read A Tale of Two Cities, you would find that some of the dominant themes in that book are biblical, scriptural themes: the necessity for sacrifice, always the possibility of resurrection, light in the midst of darkness and shadows. In that book, in both the opening lines and the closing lines, Dickens does exactly the sort of thing that we're going to be doing over the next 10 weeks. He puts together the best of times and the worst of times. And he has a hope at the end that there's a far, far better rest that you're going to than you have ever known now. I want to introduce the theme of the two cities. In a sense, we will come to Hebrews chapter 11 towards the close of this sermon, by the way. In a sense, by just sort of laying the groundwork for what it is that we're going to be looking at and the two cities, which is why this morning's sermon is entitled A Tale of Two Cities. First of all, we have to understand what city means in the Bible. City in the Bible is not simply a large group of buildings or a center of population with a certain number, or a center of population with a cathedral in it or something like that. City in the Bible is both a physical thing, a built environment, as we might call it. But it is also, and this is characteristic even from the word go in the Bible when we start looking at cities, it is characteristic of human life. So city equals built environment, yes. City equals roads and houses and all that kind of thing, and public buildings. But city is always, and this is perhaps, if you want a three-word definition of city and what it means in the Bible, it is ordered common life. Ordered common life. A lot of people get together and share their life. If they're going to share it, then there have to be organized ways of doing it. That life has to be ordered, or all you have is a congregation, a collection of chaos. So in order for that life to be lived well together, then there have to be ways of ordering that life. There have to be ways of doing commerce, of trading, of living together, of coexisting together. There have to be ways of benefiting one another. There have to be ways of organizing life so that, just to take an example from our own life, we all know that we drive on the left most of the time. We do all know that, don't we, that we drive on the left. That way we don't have the kind of accidents that you have when certain countries try and swap from going to the right and the left and do it gradually so everybody gets used to the idea. We have ways of ordering our lives which make the place good, safe and viable, which make the place non-chaotic, if you like. Ordered common life. And it is a common life. We all share the life of a city. And in the scriptures, this is absolutely essential, that it is a life where we benefit one another. It's a life where we provide for one another, where we give and we receive. It is a common life so that we have a common citizenship. And we share values, we share aims, we share relationships, we share goals together in a city. We recognize commonly power and authority and where it lies in the city. And so we produce together in this common ordered life, we produce something which is called a civilization. And it's no coincidence that when we start seeing cities appearing in the Bible, we start seeing civilization appear. In fact, our own English words, civil, civic, civilization, from the Latin civitas, are all city words. That's what these words refer to, life in cities. So, ordered common life. And if you go away with nothing else from this morning, other than the enjoyment of now having something to hold Mike to for his New Year's resolutions, then go away with that phrase in your head, that what we're looking at over the next 10 weeks is what the Bible tells us about ordered common life. Not as we live it so much in Aberdeen, although we're going to be talking about that quite a bit, but as we find it in the Bible as an expression of the relationship between God and man, people and God. Ordered common life. So the life of a city, in reference to cities in the Bible, is always associated with those values and relationships, with goals, with power and authority. It's always associated with laws and what they're like. It's always associated with the quality of the civilization and the culture that the people are producing in their ordered common life. And the question is always, is this a good place to live? And of course, when we ask that question, we immediately have to ask another one, well, according to whose idea of good? So all the way through the Bible, there is, with reference to the cities, and principally the two cities that we've already mentioned with the children, Jerusalem and Babylon, there is always the question, is this a good place to live according to God's definition of what good is? According to His values, according to the way that He wants our relationships to go, according to the kind of goals that He wants us to have, according to His power and authority, according to what His creativity produces in terms of civilization and culture. Is this a good place to live? And the question is asked of Babylon, the question is asked of Jerusalem. Occasionally we see other cities in the sort of the Babylon category, and the two principal ones that get mentioned in the Old Testament, certainly, and occasionally in the New Testament, are Sodom and Tyre. But we'll take it to be Babylon for the most part through this series. So, ordered common life. Now, I tried to get everything beginning with O, but I couldn't. Here's the second thing. Therefore, because it is about ordered common life, the Bible, as a tale of two cities, is a tale of two humanities. Now, the fancy word beginning with O is really the one that, if you're a boffin, you'll know it, but if not, don't worry, it's ontology. That is what you are in your being. What you are in your being. Not sort of the choices to make, whether you're going to do engineering or art, or whether you're going to be a baker, or whether you're going to be a plumber, or whether you're going to be a decorator, or whether you're going to be a minister, or whatever. They're not the choices we make about that kind of thing. Not what the boffins would call the existential stuff. But what we are, what our being is. It is, the Bible is a tale of two cities. It is therefore a tale of two humanities. At its most superficial, two ways to live. By superficial, I'm not meaning that in a denigratory way. I'm meaning that on the surface, that which is seen on the surface. But underneath that, it's two humanities. Two ways of being a human being. Two beings. And that, let me just say, by way of introduction, connects with the Genesis series, because one of the ways of talking about those two humanities and those two cities is that one is a city of the seed of the woman. Remember back in Genesis chapter 3:15? Right in the midst of the fall, God comes in with words of redemption and hope and grace when He says that the seed of the woman will crush the head of the seed of the serpent. And God sets up the animosity between the two. The enmity between the two. The seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. One of the cities is a humanity which is the seed of the woman humanity. It's the humanity which is going to be right with God and live by faith in God. Live before the face of God. It's the humanity which is going to be lived, as the Bible progresses, in Christ, who is that seed and who is our new humanity, who is our life, whose life we have. Whose resurrection life we live. That's the one. The other is the seed of the serpent. Here is the city which is lived according to rebellion against God. I don't want God to rule over me. I want to rule instead. Willful, deliberate rebellion, even though it is cloaked in the most civilized of robes. So, the tale of two cities, of Babylon and Jerusalem, but Babylon gets mentioned first, which is why we'll look at its foundations next week. The tale of two cities is the tale of two humanities, two ordered, common ways to live. It is therefore also, third, a way of life ordered according to God's will or our own will in rebellion. Now, the best words for this that I could figure, the best words that we find in the Bible most are, one is a city of righteousness ordered according to God's will, and one is a city of unrighteousness ordered against God's will. Not just, as it were, in the absence of God's will, but, I mean, positively against God's will. Just as one is the city of the woman, or the city of the seed of the serpent, so therefore one becomes a city of righteousness, and the other becomes a city of unrighteousness. Jerusalem, the city of righteousness. Babylon, the city of unrighteousness. According to God's law, according to God's precepts, according to God's values. Always the question governing the life of the city of God is, will this please Him? Will this be for His glory? Is this what He wants us to do? Whereas the life of the other city is ordered according to man's will in rebellion against God. Is this what I want to do? Will this fulfill my goals? Will this glorify me? Now, if you've been coming along to Guilt for a while, you'll know that one of the ways that I've spoken about our present culture and our fallen humanity is that we do the reverse of the first question in the catechism. The first question in the catechism is, what is the chief end of man? The answer is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. What our fallen humanity does, what we do in our sinfulness, and what our culture encourages us to do, what our culture sort of embodies, is the reversal of that. We say, what is God's chief end? Well, God's chief end is to glorify me and help me enjoy myself forever. Now, that's the life of the other city. That's the life of Babylon. Lived according to man in rebellion against God, where the biggest question is, how can I throw God off? How can I, in the language of Psalm 2, how can I burst His chains asunder, if you remember it from the Messiah just a few weeks ago? How can I throw off the chains of God, which sees His will as chains, His good, perfect, gracious, wide, generous will as a chain? I want to throw it off. How can I live my life for me? And whereas the one unites people before God, the other fragments people into selfishness. So one has the possibility of being a community, the other is always going to keep tripping up over itself, trying to create community. So, ordered common life. Therefore, two humanities, because there are two ways to live. And one of them is ordered according to God's word, and the other is according to our own rebellion against God. Fourth, the two are going to be opposed to each other. Not just different. We're not just talking about diversity here. We're talking about outright opposition. The two are going to be opposed to each other. And so we find as we go through the pages of the Old Testament that Jerusalem's greatest enemy became Babylon. Jerusalem's most destructive enemy was Babylon. The kings of Jerusalem's most powerful enemy was the king of Babylon. The most widespread destruction throughout all the land that focused upon Jerusalem was wreaked by the Babylonians. The most devastating impact upon the culture of Jerusalem was brought upon it by the culture of the Babylonians. The culmination of Jerusalem's plight comes at the hand of the elevated Babylonians. The two are always in opposition. Where does that opposition come from? I've given you the hint already. I've given you the clue. We track the opposition right back to the two humanities and the two destinies, the two lines that are mentioned in Genesis chapter 3:15, where God says, I will put enmity between your seed and the woman's seed, when he speaks to the serpent. And so, let's just sort of bring this in right now. As those who live according to the principles of the city of God, we will always find ourselves opposing and being opposed by the principles of Babylon. Now, as the scriptures progress, then the two cities become less and less two built environments, two spots that you can put on a map. Can't put Babylon on a map really now. Can't really can because the Hanging Gardens are there, so we can't really know where it is. But in Jerusalem, we certainly know where it is. But as we progress through the scriptures, the emphasis shifts from the built environment, those cities with their roads and tracks and carts going up and down the streets and sewage problems and all the rest of it. And it becomes the two ways to live, the two humanities. So that Paul can write to the church in Philippi, who lived according to the principles of Rome, a little pocket of Rome, the Ius Italicum, a little pocket of Rome right in the middle of Macedonia, and call them citizens of heaven. So we find ourselves as citizens of the city of God at odds with citizens of the city of Babylon. So we find ourselves at odds when it comes to saying Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. When we simply report what Jesus said, we find ourselves in frank opposition to the spirit of the age. Or when we go into our workplaces and we're going to speak truthfully, we will find ourselves in a clash of values with those who think that the truth is something that you really don't need to be interested in. What you simply need to be interested in is what is said and what is perceived. That is those who live by spin. And as we all know, the wages of spin is death. Oh dear. So the two cities, the tale of two cities, the Bible, is a tale of two humanities ordered according to two completely sets of values, righteously or unrighteously, in opposition to each other, but both, this must be about fifthly or something, are objects of God's grace. Both are objects of God's grace. Babylon and Jerusalem are looked upon with grace. But one city receives the grace by faith and lives by it, Jerusalem. The other city rejects the grace out of pride and lives by pride and sins against grace, Babylon. And again, we can take that experience of the two built environments of the city of Jerusalem and the city of Babylon, and we take that into the two humanities thing, and so we put that on the streets of Aberdeen. We don't say Aberdeen is the city of God, or any particular city is the city of God, and any particular city isn't. We don't go down that line, because the cities themselves are not spiritually of one sort or another. I mean, the built environments aren't. The thing you can plot on a map isn't. It's the humanities in there. So, in the sort of the untidiness of how it actually looks on the streets, we can see right here that there are those who will live by the grace of God according to faith and live by it. And there are those who will say no to the grace of God because it offends, most of all, it offends human pride, which says, I don't need God. I don't need Jesus, very nice man, but I don't need him. And I certainly don't need what he did for me. Because I'm not a sinner, and even if I am, I can sort that problem myself. So I don't actually need Jesus. And one will live by it eternally, by the grace of God,
through faith, and the other will die eternally. Which is why in our prayer I was talking about, if we're citizens of heaven, when we get there, we want to be taking as many citizens of Babylon with us, don't we? So both are the objects of God's grace. One will live because they've received it by faith. The other will die because they've rejected it through pride.
Therefore, finally, one day, the fate of each will be sealed. One will be eternally alive. Which tells us that what God builds, the city that God builds, lasts forever. What he builds to his glory lasts forever. But the other city, Babylon, by now we're getting towards Revelation. We're into Revelation. And towards the end of Revelation, the other will be eternally destroyed. Which tells us that what man builds for his own glory against God will be destroyed in the end. What's permanent is godly. What's temporary is ungodly. So the Bible is a tale of these two cities. The earthly cities, the real earthly cities, Jerusalem, Babylon, were founded, governed, grew, were organized according to those spiritual heavenly principles. Now, one of the things that we need to take note just as we're introducing the theme is to see that those heavenly principles were either rejected or accepted. Rejected in Babylon, accepted in Jerusalem. Let's make it as simple and clear-cut as that, although it is going to get more complicated as we go through. Then they are principally accepted or rejected in two places. In the place where the power is exercised, according to who's enthroned, that is the palace, and in the place where the gods are worshipped, that is the temple. So in both Babylon and Jerusalem, key features of the city, key features that express the humanity, are the place of power, the palace, and the place of worship, the temple. And so in Jerusalem we have God's name dwelling, and we have his temple built. And we have a palace in which the king lives according, at his best, lives according to God's word, and, if you like, puts into practice on the streets, as he orders the life of the city as a king, the word of God. We have a good palace and a good temple, and the two work together at their best in Jerusalem. In Babylon, we have earthly power exercised for human glory, and we have a profusion of temples for any god you like. Now take that and put it on the streets of Aberdeen. Take that and put it into the life that we live in this city. The palace, the temple, the place of power, the places of worship. Where is Aberdeen? Where are we? Where are our neighbours? Where do our neighbours think that all the ultimate power lies? Where do our neighbours worship? Everybody worships. Where do we do it? Where do you do it? So the tale of two cities, which is the Bible, is a tale of these two humanities, ordered according to righteousness or unrighteousness, opposed to each other, objects of God's grace, which one day will have their fate sealed. These two cities, this Bible, which is a tale of two cities, is a tale of a palace and a temple, or several palaces and several temples, several seats of power, several gods to be worshipped. There's one final thing about the city. The city is, in the Bible, an expression of the place you want to be. The place you want to be. It's a place where your life is rooted. The place where you feel you're going to receive the very best in life. Where all God's promises are finally fulfilled. It's a place we feel we most belong. It's a place we would call home. And that's why we open this series with that reading from Hebrews chapter 11. Because there we read of people who lived on this earth, but who knew that their home was somewhere else. Who lived in earthly cities and wandered between earthly cities, as Abraham and Isaac and Jacob did. And yet who knew that they would never find on earth the place where all God's promises were finally fulfilled. They would never find on earth the place that they really belong. They'd never find on earth their home. And so they longed. Do you notice that in Hebrews chapter 11? In verse 16, instead they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Abraham, back up the column in verse 10, was looking forward to the city with foundations whose architect and builder is God. So you see, the question becomes not so much what kind of citizen are you, which is the question which arises from all that we've looked at and mentioned thus far. The question becomes, in the light of Hebrews chapter 11, where do you want to be? It might be Grimster, it might be Port Elizabeth, it might even be Aberdeen. Where do you really want to be? See, all the people who lived by faith wanted to be somewhere that they would never find on earth. Because they knew that what was on earth would never, ever represent all the fullest blessings of the promises of God. They would never really feel at home in any earthly city. No earthly city was going to do it. And no earthly city can do it now. And so deep in their hearts was a constant longing to be with God. To be in a heavenly city whose architect and builder is God. Whose city architect and chief planner is God. And that's the question that we end with, in a sense. Where do you want to be? And your answer to that question is going to tell you which city, an earthly one or a heavenly one, Jerusalem or Babylon, you're actually a citizen of. Where do you want to be? Why do you want to be there? Let's pray. Lord, we pray that you would give to us a longing to live fully engaged lives down here as citizens of heaven. But in one sense, Lord, help us never to settle down so much that we think that this place could ever really be our true home. Give us the longing for a heavenly city, for your home, for your house. And Lord, if we know that we need to change our citizenship, then we pray, will you, even as our heads are bowed now, will you in your grace and in your kindness, will you, because of what Jesus has done upon the cross, and by his resurrection, will you give to us citizenship in heaven? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.